Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 47 of Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. All right, let's take a look at some of the things that God says about homosexuality, or about men with men and women with women. Homosexuality, that word itself is not found in the Bible. God just will speak of it in a more plain sense, men with men or women with women. And we read in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, this law of God: thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. And this explains why the world wants to have men lie with men and women with women, or why the world seeks to do so. And the explanation is because God commands that it not be done. And it is the fallen nature of man to do the opposite, to be contrary to the law of God. If God did not address it, if he did not speak to it, it would not be that much of a concern or thought in the minds of men. But whatever law God lays down, you can be sure men of the world will seek to break it, transgress it, deny it, and say it doesn't exist. They will seek to do the very thing God says they should not do. And this is, you know, the condition of man right from the beginning. God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man disobeyed God and did eat. And since that time, that is what mankind does. He goes against the law. And this is a very clear law. This is a very plainly stated law. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Speaking to men, you are not allowed by the law of God to have sexual relations with other men as you would with a woman. It is not the proper order, the natural order of things. I have not created you in that way. I have created you male, and I've also created the female. Remember when Adam was in the garden all alone? He was made of the dust of the ground. Then God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him and opened up his side and took of a rib and made the woman. And God brought them together. Now, you are the man. Here is your wife. The two will become one flesh. The whole institution of marriage, the whole institution of biological sex is made by God. It is the way God has designed things for this world, not just for man, not just for people, but we see it when we look around, everywhere we look in the world. We see nature, and the Greek word for natural in the verses we read here in Romans, the Greek word is physikos. It's Strong's number 5446, and it comes from another Greek word, physis, which is Strong's number 5449. And physikos, and this is a quote I found from an online site, physikos, one might more precisely speak of physical philosophy to describe what we now call science. The term physics, therefore, is a brief form of physical philosophy or natural philosophy, and in its original meaning included all of science. And biology is the science. It is a natural science concerned with the study of life and living organisms. So biology is a science, and science is the study of life and living organisms or natural things. That's what the scientists claim. That's what they always are concerned with. Natural things, not spiritual things. They don't want to get into God because you can't see him. He's a spirit, and spirits are invisible. They want visible things, and visible things are natural things that they say they study. Well, why is it? Why is it then that all of a sudden there is a push for unnatural activities, unnatural things, and they are getting the seal of approval from the scientific world? And the scientists, the biologists are saying, oh sure, it's fine for two men to come together or two women to come together, or yes, gender is a fluid issue, and we're not limited to just male, female. They're saying this is science, but science is the study of natural things. And what they do is they search nature, and they look for and find some exceptions to the rule of male with female, and they search everywhere they can to find those few exceptions, male with male or female with female in nature, and they highlight them. But they are, without any question, the exception and not the rule. The rule of nature is male with female, female with male, not same sex. It's not typically male with male or female with female. Female cows mate with male bulls. Male eagles mate with female eagles. Male owls mate with female owls. Male elephants mate with female elephants. Male spiders mate with female spiders. Female ants mate with male ants. And female whales mate with male whales. Female dolphins with male dolphins. We see it with cats. We see it with dogs. We see it wherever we look. Overwhelmingly so. The teaching of nature is male with female, male with female. And that's why God speaks of what's happening, or actually in Romans 1, he's telling us of man's sinful nature, the lust in his fallen state that he will seek after, and man and woman has fallen into this sin, throughout history, from time to time, but nothing like we're seeing today. And in Romans 1, God is bringing it to the fore, bringing it right to the surface because he's letting us know that this will be the sin that will signal the end of the world. You can know when you see the world celebrating and, you know, turning these things into wonderful things, and isn't it great that men are marrying men and women are marrying women? It's wonderful how far we've progressed in civil rights, and it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. What they're doing is actually contrary to law, contrary to the law of God, and we've discussed this in the past. When it comes to law, God's law, and God's law is laid out on the pages of the Bible. God's law is supreme. God's law is above all earthly law. And that's why it doesn't matter when courts, the supreme courts of men, get together and say, now, women, you have a right to abort your child, to kill your baby. And that does not supersede. It does not remove the law of God in any way that declares thou shalt not kill. God's law stands above the law of men. Well, what does that mean for the women, the doctors, the nurses that have been involved with all these abortions, with all these killing of babies? Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever takes man's life, God says, his life will be taken. It is the shedding of blood, the spilling of innocent blood in one sense. It is the murder of children. And so God's law stipulates it is transgression. It is sin. It is a horrible sin to take life. And whether it be men of renown, famous for their legal minds and lifted up, elevated to high positions of authority and honor in society, doesn't matter. They have violated God's law. They've broken his law. They have been instrumental in the death of large numbers of people. Likewise, when men come to any law of God, it doesn't matter what law, and say, yes, we know throughout the whole history of the world, men have married women and women have married men, but, you know, we've progressed, we're an enlightened society. And by the way, where is the evidence for that? When we look at the world, do we see enlightenment anywhere in any corner of the earth? No, we see gross darkness. We see ignorance of the highest magnitude. We don't see wisdom and understanding and knowledge that people have grown in reason to the point where now they're capable to develop good moral laws, laws that should have been there all. No, no, no. It's not going that way, that direction whatsoever. The way that mankind is going, and this is the nations, and this is their courts, and this is their judges, and this is their wisdom, is downward into the depths of depravity. It's going down, down, down into the pit of hell. It's not rising above. It's not approaching to an enlightened position where people now have better understanding and greater knowledge and wisdom. Completely the opposite. And these men in this time of intense darkness have determined they know more than all of mankind, let alone God. They know more than all past civilizations and cultures and nations and all of their rulers and all of their lawmakers. And they have finally come to the point where, you know, there is nothing wrong whatsoever for two men to get married. It's a fine thing if they want to do that, or two women. And yet, no, no, the law of God will not permit it. The supreme law and the supreme judge, who is God himself, will not permit it. You can do it. You can do it. Men do all kinds of things, say all kinds of things, believe all kinds of things. And what men say, do, and believe is immaterial. As far as God's concerned, it is sin. It is error. It is, frankly, strong delusion. It is coming from the fallen mind of the sinner that has thought that he knows better and that he is a greater lawmaker than Almighty God. But God says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And you know, we shouldn't take that word abomination as though this is some more horrific, terrible sin than others. No, sin is sin. All sin in one way or another is abomination. The sin of Adam and Eve in disobeying God and eating of the fruit of a tree God said not to is abomination. Just look at all the evil that has resulted because man thought he knew better than God and had greater wisdom than God. And it's just brought untold misery and suffering to every generation since. But this is sin. It is not a good thing. No sin is a good thing. It's not a good thing for a male and a female to have any kind of sexual relations outside of marriage. It's not a good thing for a male to take a second wife after divorcing the first and she's still alive and to enter into marriage. God calls that sin. It, you know, God's laws for marriage and for sexual activity are very, very strict. And if followed, we would have tremendous blessing. Society would be tremendously blessed if only they follow the law of God. But society, made up of sinful people, think they know better than God. And so, it's okay. You know, a little wink of the eye. What's it matter? Everybody does it. Everybody, you know, goes and has sexual relations, fornication with others before marriage. It's only the oddball who doesn't. And look at society. Does that idea, has it helped anyone? How many has it ruined? How many teens have gotten pregnant, and how has that led to the other sin of abortion, of killing, of murdering one's baby because of the first sin of engaging in sexual relations when one should not have done so? And again, man's wisdom doesn't measure up because man has no wisdom. Man is a creature, a fallen creature. He does not know better than the Creator. God, the maker of man, knows what is best for the creature that he has created. And so God gives his laws. This is how you are to live. And if you live in accord with these laws, with these commandments, you will live a blessed life. You will live a happy life to the degree, to the level that you follow these laws. It is like reading the instruction manual for some machine or tool. The one who made it knows best how it's to operate. Follow the instructions. And yet man is like that guy who comes along and throws the instruction manual away. Oh, I know how this works. You know, he's full of pride and arrogance, and then he goes and he cuts off his foot because he doesn't know how it works. And this is the nature of the sinner. We also find in Leviticus 20, another statement that the Lord has made in verse 13, where it says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And you can read the same kind of death sentence concerning adultery between a man and a woman. Again, it's not that this sin is more sinful, but it is a sin, is the point. And that's the problem today. Man has desensitized himself to all kinds of sins, to all kinds of sins. He doesn't see them as sinful. And that's how he goes about his life. And then he wonders, why is everything so chaotic? Why is society like this? Why are people running around shooting one another? And why is it so dangerous? And why can't we all just live together in peace? And yet everyone contributes. Everyone participates in the rebellion against God, in scoffing at the law of God on this point of adultery, or this point of fornication, or this point of homosexuality, or on this point of murder, even where it's called a good thing, for a right for a woman to kill her own child. And then the world is like wondrous and incredulous. Well, why is everything so bad? Why is everything so awful? Why are people doing wrong like they're doing? And everybody likes to point the finger out there at those who are breaking the few laws that society in general would agree are wrong to do. You know, those very few laws. And yet they don't realize that they've raised a generation of lawbreakers. That's what they've taught their children since they were a baby, with lying. Oh, it's just a white lie. You know, that's okay. Justification for lying. Or with this or with that. Be careful if you go out with a girl. Make sure you practice safe sex rather than telling them the law of God, that it's better not to touch a woman. And whatever you do, make sure you do not have any kind of sexual relations, because God has said that's not to be. There's none of that, or very, very little of that. It's more how to get away with it. Here, contraception, and do this and do that. And if you don't get away with it and you get pregnant, here's something to get out of it and the child's life. It is a world that is so wrapped up in its sin. Sin is the strands that hold society together. Sin is what society functions according to the rebellion that they've engaged in with the law of God. And then the same society wants God to bless them and give them sun and rain in proper season and fruitful seasons. And whenever anything bad happens, any kind of evil catastrophe, then they shake their fist at God. How dare you, God? Well, how dare God? What's incredible is that God has put up with mankind for so long in the way that he has. And yet the Bible tells us that God has put up with mankind for a very specific reason. If we go to Romans chapter 9, we read of the potter in verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. And that means God put up with the sins of the world, with all these evil deeds, in order to save a people for himself, vessels unto glory, the elect that he would save. But God now has accomplished the salvation of those elect, and therefore he is no longer long-sufferingly patient with mankind's sins. But on the date of May 21, 2011, God came and began the judgment process of this world. And we have been in that judgment process since that time, and according to biblical evidence, will continue to be until the year 2033. And God is now punishing the inhabitants of the earth. And none can argue, none can try to defend the people of the world and to say that their punishment is undeserved. Nobody can say that, because we all know the transgressions, our own and all that we see around us. We all know our wrongdoing, our evil doing. It is evident. It is clear for anyone to see who has any kind of eyes in their head. And therefore, God's judgment is a righteous judgment. It is the righteous judgment of God to punish, to pour out his wrath upon those that have trampled underfoot his law and have just brought pain and misery and suffering to themselves and to all around. This is why God has brought the world to the day of judgment, and it's why he will soon destroy the world and remove it out of existence, and all of the wicked along with it, and all of their evil deeds that they've thought and spoken and done will be gone forever. It'll be gone forever. It'll be removed from holy God forevermore, and God and his people that he has redeemed out of the earth will then turn their attention forward into eternity future, not to give a moment's thought, not the slightest bit of recollection to this cursed creation and to this sinful people.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.